Merry Christmas.
Doesn't that seem weird to say that? It seems weird. All right, everybody up. We're going to worship God today. Lord God, we just come to you today, and we just want to praise your name and thank you for your birth, which changed the world for eternity. In your name we pray. Help us worship you. Amen. Wow, you guys are all in accord. You better sing that well. For those online, somebody sneezed and they said, bless you.
done yet? Yeah. All right.
We have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. By your heavenly song, Gloria in excelsis Deo. The Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Can be seated for just a little bit. Get your rest in for a slight bit.
Today we're going to light our last candle before we light our Christ candle at the end of the service. So we're going to light the candle of peace. And if anybody has seen the news or the world, just last week, you can see that a church in, I believe, Syria, wasn't it, that was attacked and many were killed again. We saw that in the Philippines, many were killed with mudslides and other kinds of things. And we're told in the scripture that there's wars and rumors of wars, but we really need peace. And one of the names for Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so we just pray that during the season, the Prince of Peace will touch our hearts. Please watch this video.
Thank you. calling out through a sea of hurt. Oh come, Emmanuel. And can you hear the angels singing, glory to the light of the
time. At this time, what I'm going to ask if our children can go ahead and head to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry. They can head out, and the rest of us, we're going to sit still, and we're going to have our scripture lesson come up now. Scripture lesson.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Today's reading is from Matthew 1, 18 through 23. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
Through receiving God's tithe in our offerings, and as we continue to worship at this time.
they told me, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. A newborn king to see, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum. Come, these honors, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see. See the day bring glory. See the day when men of goodwill live in peace, live in peace again. Peace on earth. Can it be? Every child must be made aware. Every child must be made to care. Care enough for his fellow man to give all the love that he can. My wish will come true. I for my child and your child too. I'll see the day for him. I play my best for him. Live in peace again. Peace on earth, rum-pa-bum-bum. Can it be? Can it be?
All right, I'm loaded for the year. I'm loaded for the message today. I got my Sepacol lozenges. That's a weird term, isn't it? Lozenges. Okay, I just thought so. But, and so we're ready for today. I just does not seem like Christmas time to me, does it to you? Anybody else just weirded out by it? Anybody feel like it should be like September? Okay, that's where I am. That's where I am now. So I can't even get my stand ready, so you know I'm not ready for Christmas. All right, so today, here we are. I just want to do a couple things. Remember that tonight, what we're going to do, tonight we are going to end up having our 7:30 service, which is family. It's open to kids, all ages. We're going to have some fun with that one. Like we have fun every time, right? But we're going to have some fun with the kids. Today we're going to celebrate communion. I'll give you the warning now. Not like you guys care, but if you do, tough. We'll probably go a little bit over, which what is over? I don't know. When God gets rid of us, don't worry, I'm not going to keep you here till tonight. But mainly, I just want to share some things today. Melinda, can you bring up the next message series? We're going to start next week with a new message series for the first of the year, and it's called Creature of Habit. You got it up there? There you go. We're going to talk about Creature of Habit, and we are going to talk about some of the habits that we get into. Some of those are good. How many of you have ever had a bad habit? Who's picking your nose right now? You've probably had a bad habit. So we're going to talk about some of that. But we're also going to talk about, you know, the time of the new year tends to be a time where we start anew and we want to come up with new habits. We want to do all kinds of things. But we're going to talk about some habits that we can have to make us new in Christ. To be, I almost called it a new creature of habit. And that's kind of one of the things we want to go ahead and get to. All right? So that's where we're going to head for the next couple weeks beginning. But today, I want to talk about seeing Christmas. And the focus on that is Christ in the midst of this, the birth of Christ. And, you know, around this time, you know, getting ready for the season, getting ready for messages and other kinds of things, I tend to look at some of the scriptures. Some of these I've seen time and time and time again, right? I've seen them. And then sometimes it's really kind of good because it leads you to an Old Testament verse that you can kind of reconnect and see something new in where you are. And so I just want to open with prayer today. And I hope that whether you're visiting with us, welcome. We're glad that you're here. If you're a part of church online, we welcome you as well and wish you a Merry Christmas. So let's go ahead and pray to start this out. Lord God, we come to you once again and you are awesome. I can't believe you brought us through another year. And here we are. And it's been a year that has been filled with lots of things. And so God, as we focus today through all the other stuff, through whether we're thinking right now, what kind of things we still got to wrap, and if we're thinking about that one person we still got a gift for because we don't really love them, but we got to buy one anyway, God, forgive us, and then we'll go ahead and head on out and get that done, but ultimately, let us just focus on the greatest gift. His name is Jesus, and he was given to this world to save us from our sins. In your name we pray, amen. All right, look at somebody next to you and say, good to see you. All right, now look at your second choice and tell them Merry Christmas. There you go. Doesn't it feel good? Say Merry, Merry Christmas to them. Give them two Merry Christmases since you denied them the first time. All right. All right, Ron read for us today a scripture lesson from Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to touch on it again because we need to hear it. And it's awesome to hear the word of God here today. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Just in case you want to know, Mary and Joseph were technically unwed parents when Jesus came along. Let that sit in your Christianity for a while. Yeah, they were engaged. True, very good. You're good. That's why they said pledge. See, look at somebody reeling me back in. There we go. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Just to let you know, God does not do things the way we want him to. And the way our culture thinks it should be done. He does what he wants to do. He says, I'm God, you're not. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He held Joseph as a good man. He had in mind to divorce her quietly because in those days, if you were pledged to be married, you had to go through a divorce. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And here's the very, very important verse. She will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. Which actually is Yeshua, which means God saves. Because he will save his people from their sins. Isn't it amazing that so many of us want to save ourselves from our own stuff? Many of us love to go ahead and spend time with our own self-help books and our own kind of things that we put in and our programs and all kinds of other stuff. Yet it is only Jesus that can save us from our sins. We all want to be good enough, but there's only one, as the scripture tells us, that is good enough, and his name is Jesus. The only one good enough. Verse 22, this is a verse here that just kind of leapt out to me when we see this, and it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. You know, when you're reading scripture sometimes, and the points of reading scripture time and time again, there's certain times you'll read over something and it'll stand out. And in many cases, when I read this verse of scripture, I will see verse 21 that tends to leap out, which has been a famous one, or maybe even verse 23. But in this time, the one that seemed to leap out to me today is verse 22. It jumped out at me, and I want to show you in the King James, because some of us, sometimes you just got to have some King James Jesus in your head, right? Sometimes, you know, even though I love the NIV, and I love the Message, and I love the modern translation, you know, try to say the Lord's Prayer in non-King James. It'll mess with you. Try to say the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Try to say that, not in the King James. You will be messed up for years after that. So let's look at verse 22 from the King James. It says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. You see, what you see here is none of this was a mistake. None of this was random. It was all done according to the fulfillment of what God had promised and what God had said. Every moment, every detail, every miracle, from shepherds in the field to wise guys following a star to finding no room in the inn and having to lay him in a feeding trough, all that was from God. All of it was set in motion by God. Look at what it says again. To fulfill what was spoken by God to the prophet. You know, God created everything just by speaking. There is power in the word of God. And so when we see this, all was planned and set in motion. It is not a series of disconnected events, but all had God interconnected because he is a God of order. The message speaks to us still today. The message is simply this, that God is with us. And all things are speaking about God with us because we have an opportunity when God is with us for salvation. Is in his name Jesus, which means God saves. But, everybody say but. But. Don't look at the person next to you and say but. Are we hearing it? Are we seeing it in our world, in our lives? Are we receiving this message that has all been there, not hidden in the stuff of life and the pain and all the stuff that we deal with? And there's several things that I want to share with you today. And one of the things is that the chaos of this world can conceal the true meaning of Christmas. That Christmas is often hidden from us. It seems to get more and more hidden all the time in the to-do list. But maybe it even gets hidden in the life since last Christmas. Since last Christmas, you may have had some changes or some switches since Christmas last year. This time last year, maybe you were heading in a relationship that your marriage was going great, and then all of a sudden, here we are this year, and it's completely different. You may have had different people around the table last year because, sadly, by death or some other reason, that something has taken them. You see, I grew up in a PK household. That is, I was a preacher's kid. All right, and they're the worst, in case you don't know. So I grew up as a preacher's kid, and Christmas always consisted about making sure everything was done for church. Guess what? I passed that on to my kids. That my mom used to do cantatas, and they were great things. But it wasn't always peaceful in the home, right? Right, Jill? Right? And so it wasn't because of mom, it's just because of the pressure of putting on. My mom did major productions. And then they would have a Christmas Eve services. And they'd have several of those. And my mom actually was Clara the Cow. I don't know if anybody remembers that from way back, where she would use her arm as a puppet and talk. And they had this whole kind of thing. And there was major situations to do. And it finally came to about 11 o'clock at night on Christmas. We could go, right? You see, Jesus was in that. But it was sometimes hard to find the message of Christmas because of everything. Anybody ever been in retail? How many of you love retail at Christmas? I walked into Walgreens to buy some throat lozenges yesterday, and this girl was behind the counter, and as she was sitting there, she was like, beep. I said, you having fun? She said, nope. I said, hey, don't you love people this time of year? She said, nope. I said, hey, have people been rude? She said, yep. I said, isn't it awesome? And she said, nope, it was great. And so, here you are. Here you are in the situation of life that here is Christmas all around us. All around us is this holiday that we celebrate, this time of year that we focus on so many other things, but Jesus himself, and that the chaos of everything else in the year kind of clouds the message, the real hidden message that's here, is that we all need to see Christ in Christmas. We all need to see Christ in Christmas. How many of you have an elf on a shelf? You know, I was thinking, a lot of us approach this whole Christmas thing like an elf on the shelf. You know, we just kind of end up somewhere where we weren't the day before, going. Next day, we might have our head in a pot going. Might have our legs up around our head. You know, we feel like that, but we're just smiling all the way through. And yet, we are looking, but we're not seeing. anything. And so what I believe is that seeing actually comes down to deciding, to making a choice. You see, we're all faced with decisions. And we can just go through the motions this year. We can go through the motions of, you know, my family is broken and different from last year. Or we can say, you know, I've lost something or I've lost someone this year and I'm just going to go through the motions. Or I may say, my gosh, this time of year I have these bad memories from Christmas. It was not Courier and Ives. It was hell and torture. And so I experienced that and I lived through that. I may have pain and busyness in my life that I'm just going to go through the motions. And the message of Christ gets clouded and cloudy. You may have to decide that through the good, bad, and ugly that I'm going to experience Christ this Christmas. And I got to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, I struggle with this. I struggle with this majorly. You see, you may have to go ahead and see Christ in the little things. In every manger scene you see, you may have to go, oh, it's Jesus. Or in every Christmas song that comes on, you may go, that's about Jesus. You may be in the middle of the store and Melikaliki Maka comes on, and you may go, Melikaliki Maka is the thing to say, happy birthday, Jesus. And watch people go, that person's on something. You may have to do that. You might have to do whatever you can to see the Savior in a world and a culture which tries to hide him and cloud him down more and more and more. In other words, you got to make a decision. You see, you got to look and you see the star. And when you see the star, you might want to say, that's not just a star. That is a led by the Holy Spirit to guide three guys to what God has provided the Savior of the world. It may have taken them 2 years to get there, but they weren't stopping until they got there. Or you may see the tree. How many have a Christmas tree? All right? How many are one of those weird people that goes out and gets it today? Whew, none of them. Let's talk about them. All right? I don't know why people do that. You're crazy. Somebody did. A friend of my parents used to do that and said, you got a discount. I don't need a discount that day. All right? But a tree. I'm one of those people who, forgive me, that drags that sucker out of the attic. You know, I drag that fake one out of the attic. How many of you are fake tree people? Hallelujah, fake tree people. How many of you are real tree people? All right, we'll pray for you. No, the trees are awesome. They smell awesome, but somehow I'm going to get a pine needle in my rear end. I know it's going to happen. And it's just not, I just always had one. But wouldn't it be awesome if we just stopped pulling that tree out of the attic and we just like had a bat cave like thing that flipped around and kept that tree decorated all year? How many for that? Every house should have like a spinning tree decorating hiding thing, right? Where am I? All right. But every time I look at a tree, I need to look at a tree in a special way. I need to look at a tree that when I see the tree, I recognize that Martin Luther and others, that there's a church history that said that trees, because of being evergreen, had this kind of that had this thing that maybe kept evil forces away. But most Christians looked at it as putting the tree in there as a symbol of the fact that every time I look at my Christmas tree, I don't see SpongeBob and everything else that's on there from 85 years. I look and I see the fact that Jesus gave his life on a tree for you and me to pay the ultimate price, to live, to die, and yes, to raise again. And so when I see that and I recognize that I can now be free in my life, and I may not feel free, I may have a year that was filled with bondage, but when I look at that tree, I recognize that the lights on that tree tell me that Jesus is the light of the world. That no matter what darkness I've had in my life, no matter whether it was hurt or pain or loss or addiction or the ghost of Christmas past that we've talked about the last several weeks in church, that I am free in Christ. And when you are free in Christ, you are free indeed. Anybody awake? Those lights that I untangle and pull out and I get tired of and I go buy another set of them sometimes work and sometimes don't. You see, like the ones on the, they were going in and out on the reef. I'm like, what's going on? They're going on in and out. And how many of you have ever remembered the old days where one went out? They all went out. How many wanted to just choke them and throw the tree out the window? Felt like you're on Christmas vacation. But let me tell you, even though the lights on your tree may go out and the lights in your window, the light of Christ will never go out. The light of Christ is always working. Always working. Or what about that candy cane? How many of you like candy canes? Candy canes. I left some in my car. I would pull some out. We're going to get some tonight. But candy canes are awesome. You know why candy canes are awesome? Because they make that peppermint bark. How many like peppermint bark? Oh, that is awesome, isn't it? Heaven, there's going to be a whole plate of peppermint bark for me mixed with that chocolate stuff. It's going to be good, and I'm not going to gain 1 pound. Hallelujah. And if it's minty, it's got to be healthy. If it makes your breath smell good, it's got to be healthy. That's what I say. All right? But when you look at that candy cane, those stripes are reminiscent of, when I look at that candy cane, I look at it as the stripes are reminiscent of the stripes that Christ paid for me. When I taste the peppermint, it's a reminder, and it's very similar to hyssop that Jesus had when he was on the cross. I also look at the red. The red is symbolized for the blood of Christ that he shed for me. That all my sins are as scarlet, they will be made white as snow. That if you have it normal size, it's a shepherd's crook, which recognizes those shepherds coming. But you flip that sucker around, it's a J for Jesus. Isn't that awesome? You can eat holy with a candy cane. See Christ in everything. You see, you got to make a decision to see Jesus, or else a candy cane's just a little crunchy thing that you go ahead and get fat with. What about bells? What about bells? What about bells? Bells. Have these things? Yeah, you know, you go into a store. Merry Christmas! Oh, I lost the bell. Merry Christmas! Happy holidays! Ooh, give me your money, right? And that kind of thing. Look, I lost my bell. But there are people there, and you know, you go into some of these stores, there's some people that are really happy with these bells. You know what I mean? At first, it's kind of cool, because when you hear a bell, you don't think of, oh, happy Halloween, do you? You hear bells, you think, what? Oh, Christmas. And at first, like when they're out there after Thanksgiving, or maybe even before now, they think, ling, 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 hey, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. You're like, oh, that's cool. But if you stand there for 15 minutes, you want to choke them. You want to take that bell and do some bad things with it. You're like, please stop. No, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, stop. No. You think of Christmas when you hear the bells. It's pretty cool, but it can get on your nerves after a while. And you know what? The other day, I was sitting there, I was like, this person was ringing, and I was like, would you please stop ringing? Ding-a-ling, no, no, stop. Please stop. And then all of a sudden, this song, I know Jill's going to remember it, and some of you may, from the 70s and the early 80s, and our mom made us sing this song. And it was, come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. What an annoying song! What an annoying bell, but guess what? In scripture, the tradition of bells is to symbolize the angels filling the air, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, earth to men. You gotta make a decision to find Jesus in everything, in absolutely everything, and I've ruined you when you're going to Walmart next and see that person dangling. Go up to them and go, come on, ring those bells, see what they do. See if they kick it up more. But I got a confession to tell you. I've said several times in my life and recently that I just hate Christmas. I used to love it. But there's a part of me that just can't stand it. This time of year, it's a time of stress. It's a time of looking back. It's a time of where you're hurt because of things that went on in that year, where you're just lost because plans that you made at the beginning didn't fulfill, because things aren't the way that you wanted them to be. There's a lot more to do. And sometimes I get downright, bah, bah, humbug, bah, 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 Christmas year, bah. It could just be that, it could be just things that I processed in my life and the way I process them, that it doesn't come out right. You know, yesterday, I went to get a last-minute present, and I was caught in traffic. And the immediate thing is to grumble. But I decided to put in that song, Light of the World, that we just sang. And I love that song. That has become one of my favorite songs at Christmas season now. Glory to the light of the world. Behold your king. Behold Messiah. Emmanuel. Okay? It's so powerful. And as I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this. And you know, even the other day, I almost got hit three times by the same truck getting ready to fill up on gas. And I was not blessing them with the name of Jesus. I was not doing that. I wanted to get out and give somebody a whooping and tell them, God bless you. Learn how to drive. And so, but I'm literally three times they almost hit me with the same car. You should see me move. I was moving well. But anyway, so I caught myself playing this worship song that is Behold Your King, Behold Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And it's playing, and it's playing. And somebody like cuts me off or slams on the brakes. I'm like, jerk, Behold Your King, Behold Messiah, Emmanuel, you jerk, get out the road. It's God with us. What's your problem? You know, I'm like, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? That every time we give a time for God to serve, we got to recognize that God is with us. And at times, I am flawed. And at times, all the stuff that I'm taking into my mind is heading in a place where it shouldn't be. Because I got to make a choice whether God is with me. I got to make a choice that to see, behold my King, behold Messiah, Emmanuel, that God is with us, even though some people can't drive worth a stick. My choice was to behold my King when life was smooth sailing and nobody was cutting me off. In 2017, it's a weird year. I lost three people who were very close to me. One was a founding member of our church. I lost a very good friend who was a friend of mine for 30 years, plus years. I lost a mentor in my life that they've gone on. And some of those, they don't even make any sense. I tore my shoulder and had surgery. I had people whisk in and out of my life, people that I thought would be there for years to come. I also went on a trip to Haiti that I was just going to go and do good and pop out. And guess what? God made a change and has given us brothers and sisters there. And we are actively impacting a community in spite of me. I've seen our church help more than ever before. And I've seen people committed and building ministry to the least of these and people in the world. And so as I quickly wind this down before we continue with our service today, there's four things I want you to look for to see Christ. Because in some of those areas, I tell you, I did not see Christ when in the fact that a mentor of mine suffered for years with dementia and finally passed away. I had trouble finding Christ in one of my best friends dying suddenly. I had trouble finding Christ sometimes in the awesome stubbornness of a woman I love deeply who was a founding member of this church. And yet, I saw the face of God in children in Haiti who have nothing, and in a pastor who loves people more than he loves his own life. I saw the face of God in a church who is willing to support no matter what and to say, we're going to do this in the name of Jesus. So how do we see God? Here's how we see God. Remember this, that God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. We all struggle with this. The enemy wants us to be convinced and wants to convince us that God is not near and God does not hear. People forget. I forget sometimes. I've forgotten my keys about 3 billion times this whole year. God has not forgotten. And even though what Christmas tells us is the silence and the gap between the Old and the New Testament, 400 years of silence as I talked about, that Galatians tells us why it seems silent. God was still listening, but it says, when the time was perfect, God sent his son Jesus into the world. It's God's time. It's not random. It's perfect in him. Isaiah 49, verse 1 and 15 through 16. You may think God has forgotten you. And look at what it says here. Listen, far-flung islands. Pay attention, faraway people. God put me to work from the day I was born. From the moment I entered the world, he named me. Can a mother forget the infant at her breast? Walk away from the baby she bore? But even if mothers forget, here's what God says. I'd never forget you. Never. Look, I've written your names on the back of my hands. How many of you people who write stuff to remember on your hands? How many ever got know anybody who's gotten a tattoo? All right, I may have one. All right, so tattoos, right? They're on there for good. God writes you on his hand, tattoos. You are God's tattoo. And that also, look at the person next to you saying, God got a tattoo with your name on it. God will not forget you, no matter what. Number two, God has a promise for you. And one of the things is God keeps his promises. The hymn from when I was a boy that was my favorite hymn was Standing on the Promises of God My King. God keeps his promises. People don't always keep your promises. Anybody broke their promise to you this year? Yeah. You broken a promise to anybody? God kept, Christmas says God kept his promise to Isaiah. He kept his promise to Moses. He kept his promise to Adam. And he kept his promise to Eve and to everyone else in that lineage. Matthew told us this, that all this took place to fulfill what God has spoken. God has a promise for you. And when you recognize that God has a promise for you, you can recognize that God has a purpose for you. That your life may be hard and in storms and situations to see that God is working in all things. It is very difficult times to see when I look and I to believe Romans chapter 8, verse 28. That, and we know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I don't think Jordan recognized, sorry Jordan, I'm pulling you out. I don't think he recognized when he was sitting in a hospital this year that God was keeping his promises, but he's here today and he's got that cute little baby here. God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. It doesn't mean it's easy, right? It ain't easy, but God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. There's so much times that we find it so hard to see purpose in our pain. Anybody remember those 3D prints that they had that you'd stare at them and something would come out at you? And so how many of you have ever struggled to see those things? I remember sometimes I look at them and they're like, relax your eyes, and you're like. And I love when they were in the mall because you had like 20 people going. Right? But guess what? When you got it, you're like, oh! You see, you had to look at it a different way than you look at it normally. And that's what we have to do in our lives now. We have to look at our lives differently than we've been looking at them to see that God has a purpose in the midst of that pain, that he is working all things to the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Christmas says, refocus your eyes and see the Savior world. Stop looking at life the same way. Behold your King. Behold Messiah. Behold Emmanuel, who is God with us, not far removed from us, but right here with us. You are not forgotten. You have a purpose. You have a promise. And God, number four, has a plan for you. Once you fill out the purpose and discover purpose, you can make a difference. One of the best ways we can see Christ in Christmas is being part of his plan. One of the greatest quoted scriptures of all times comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. This is your memorization verse that you need to know. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. In 2017, were you part of his plan? Humanity is so broken. And we are just beginning to experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ here at this church. How do you do it? You need to see Christ in Christmas. And you need to see Christ in all areas of your life throughout this year. What I say to you today is, behold your King. Behold Messiah. Emmanuel. He's here with us. Amen? Amen. At this time, we're going to go ahead and experience our communion service. And so I'm going to ask that we move to that point. We will serve the worship team afterwards. They're doing a lot of different things today. So we're going to serve the worship team afterwards. But after the supper was over, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat from this, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you. It's no mistake that Bethlehem, or as they say in Hebrew, Betlehem, I don't want to say it too much, I'll spit on people in the front row. Betlehem means house of bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never grow hungry. Right? So he gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God once again and said, blessed are you, Lord God, ruler, creator, and sovereign of the universe, that gives us drink that we may, fruit of the vine that we may have drink. He passed it around to his disciples and said, take and drink from this, all of you. This is my blood in the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and upon these gifts, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ that we may be for the world, the body of Christ, redeemed and set apart by his precious blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world. Until we one time feast at his heavenly banquet table. I know you guys are excited about some of that food you're going to eat this week. Just heaven, that's just a small glimpse of heaven. Better be peppermint bark. So this is the body and blood of Christ. And I want to ask you to do something. I know we got plenty of other things going on today. But what you're going to do is as you receive communion, you're also going to go ahead and get a candle. I think there's other ones here that they're going to go ahead and pass out to you. And so what I'd like you to do is to come down on this side, come down from the back this way, and return. Same thing on that side where Mike is, down that side. You'll receive communion, and then you also receive a candle. You can go ahead and go back to your seat. And then this side, you can come down here and on the other side and make it way and return that way. All right, so coming down around here. And you'll receive a candle, and make sure you have them. Sit tight. We're going to go ahead, and then afterwards, we have a couple songs through communion. After that, we're going to sing Silent Night and give God glory, and then we're going to head on out after that. So just hang in here, all right? Everybody good? Just hang in here for Jesus, all right? I'm going to serve the servers here, and you guys can continue to worship. Also, if you need gluten-free Jesus, it's right over here. All right. Don't worry, he has a sense of humor. I'm still here, okay?
love incarnate, love divine. Star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee. The savior of humanity. A child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. To suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave. Christ the everlasting Lord, he shall reign forevermore. No. Thank you. given for us, Noel.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. Loud and sweet their songs repeat. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing. Like a choir they're singing. In my heart I hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. In despair I bow my head. There is no peace on earth, I say. Is strong and mocks the song. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells that ring, like a choir that's singing, can anybody hear them? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, they rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. Chime a chance of life. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing. Peace on earth. Like a choir that's singing. Peace on earth. With our hearts we'll hear them. Peace on earth.
Here we go. Where is it? Oh, thank you. Okay, here we go. So we ain't have one?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. I don't know what you guys are laughing about. There's another one here. All right. We reached that time where you're jealous, aren't you? So, well, I'll let you borrow it, Bob. Seriously, at this time, this is one of my favorite times during the year where we take time to go ahead and light the Christ candle, because love, joy, peace, all those things come together, and hope all come together in one light, and that's the light of the world. His name is Jesus. And so at this time, does everybody have one? Anybody need one? Okay. So don't turn it on yet. I didn't tell you to turn it on. Okay. So, but what we're going to do, we're going to ask that you stand. Go ahead and stand, and we're going to sing Silent Night, and the lights will go down, and then we'll look around. So they're going to lead us in Silent Night, and you can go ahead and light them now.
Christ lost sinners.
down. Just get your hands back up. Go ahead and take a look around you and just see, even with light from outside, that inside here, just a little spark just continues that light moving and moving. If we could all just take that light that doesn't go out, the light of Christ, and just take it and share it with one other person. That they can share it with one other person, one other person, one other person, one other person. That for many people, that their Christmas is like this. The message of Christmas is just going to last until the tinsel and the holly and all the cookies and everything get eaten. But let Jesus shine throughout your life each and every day. Each and every day. This is a hurt and broken world. We have a decision. Behold your King. That little baby in Bethlehem, behold your King. Behold Messiah, the one that came to save us from our sin. Emmanuel, that God is with us, not only as we celebrate Christmas, but each and every day of our lives. No matter what you're going through, no matter what 2017 has for you, no matter what 2018 has for you, know this, that God is with us. And with that, nothing can be against us. Amen? All right. You can go ahead. You can extinguish these, which means turn the batteries off. My, how church has changed, right? And we'd ask that if you go ahead and drop them, there'll be ushers at the back, if you can go ahead and just place those in there so we can have them. You can turn the lights on now. Tonight at 7:30, we'll be here. It's a service for the whole family. Don't worry about childcare. We want to go ahead and have a good time. Our kids, we'll take time with them, and that's always an adventure. All right, so have a great week, and if I don't see you later, Merry Christmas.